Hi, I'm Tony Rossi for The Christophers, and today I'll be talking with singer-songwriter Marie Miller about her album, Little Dreams, and why she feels that God has been able to take the hardships and struggles she's faced in life and still bring beauty out of them. Stay with us. Christopher Close-Up starts right now. Hello and welcome to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi, and my guest today is singer-songwriter Marie Miller. Marie was with Curb Records for 10 years, and during that time, her pop folk sound was compared to Taylor Swift and Sarah Bareilles. But recently, Marie felt God calling her to a different musical path. It required a leap of faith, but she left her record label and created a country bluegrass album called Little Dreams that reflects her struggles and her love of God. Before I talk to Marie about Little Dreams, I want to share a clip from the album. Here is Marie Miller singing Homeland.
I was hoping for a quiet life with you, but the cause was too great, the path was too true, so I packed up my bags and left what I know for all of this great unknown. When the fire
I'm Tony Rossi, you're listening to Christopher Close-Up, and we just heard a clip of the song Homeland from Marie Miller's album Little Dreams, and I am very happy to welcome Marie to the show now. Marie, it is so great to have you on Christopher Close-Up today.
It's great to be here.
Let me ask you first about this album, Little Dreams, because I was reading a little bit about the background of it, and it seems like the making of it was, in a way, for you personally, a journey from fear to faith. Tell us a little bit about that journey and how you moved forward to make this album.
Yeah, so I have been performing since I was a little girl and got signed to a record label when I was about 15 years old, and kind of always had that cushion of, you know, the money, the marketing, everything that I would need. And so when I decided to leave my record label in 2018, for kind of reasons of wanting to be more authentic musically, and I wanted to be able to write songs that could proclaim my Catholic faith. And I also wanted to be able to talk more about my Catholic faith. And it was just who I am, you know, like the deepest part of me, as a lover of Jesus. And I wasn't really able to do that because I was doing folk pop music, which I love. And I love, you know, performing just in regular old venues and everything, but I wanted to do that. So I stepped out and at first felt very excited and then got super freaked out because I realized that record labels, yeah, they have money. And just in the way that God does, he has really just given me the daily bread of what I've needed. There's been investors that have gotten involved and just wonderful people, great team. So as an independent artist, I feel even stronger, but it took, yeah, just a leap of faith, to do that.
Yeah. Did you, I mean, when I was reading about your story, I was reminded of the old Martin Luther King quote about faith is taking the first step, even when you don't see the whole staircase. Does that reflect your approach to this album, Little Dreams?
For sure. There's actually a song called Brave New Step on the album, which is about sometimes the new step is the bravest step, right? Because it's the plans that we did not want to make or the plans that are changed that really takes an act of faith. And so definitely that's a beautiful quote.
Yeah, I'm talking to Marie Miller. Her website is mariemillermusic.com and her album is Little Dreams. We're talking about that now. We just heard the song Homeland before. And when I first started listening to it, at first I thought maybe it was about you returning to your Virginia roots and your country bluegrass roots. But then when I listened a little deeper, I think I felt like more it was about almost going to our eternal homeland, heaven. What was the inspiration behind Homeland? Is it about a physical journey or is it about a spiritual journey or maybe a little of both?
Yes. So it is all of the above. It has three layers, actually. So Homeland is a song inspired by Lord of the Rings and Frodo's kind of journey, stepping away from, you know, the Shire, the kind of the simple, easy life, to save the world, basically. And And also, it has definitely that homeland of like Virginia home, aspect to it. Cause I love my home so much. And I'm not those kind of music. There's definitely like a type of musician that's like, I wanted to leave my hometown and blast through the, and see the big city. And I'm like, no, I don't really want to do that. Leaving home is very hard for me. And so, yeah, so for the sake of a better, for the sake of the listeners, I leave, but it's not the easiest thing. And then, yes, ultimately I was reading in Hebrews this idea, Hebrews uses the word homeland, when they talk about faith, and how we know of a better homeland. And so, yes, it's about heaven as well.
Yeah, well, actually, I'm impressed to hear that it was inspired by Lord of the Rings. That may be the first song I featured on the show to be inspired by Lord of the Rings. Are you a big Tolkien fan?
Yeah, you need to get some nerdier musicians and speakers on your show. I know a lot. It's yes, I'm a huge Tolkien fan. I think that the whole idea of the epic and us living for a great adventure has always just like stirred in my heart so much. And so, yeah, I love it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this doesn't directly tie into Tolkien, but maybe this is some influence because you wrote something really insightful on your blog that I read. You said that I'm learning that the artist and the saint have one thing in common. They can enter into the mystery of suffering and make something beautiful. How did you come to see that connection between enduring suffering and creating beauty?
Yeah. So I was thinking about brokenness and the idea that when we take broken pieces in our lives, that we can make a mosaic out of it and that we can make something beautiful. And I was thinking, wow, our Lord, like he does that for us. So he takes our brokenness and he makes something beautiful out of it. He takes the most broken thing in the world, the murder of God. And brings out the resurrection. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so I was thinking it is funny because the saint knows how to do that in their own lives and the artist might be a terrible person, but they can do that through their art. And I'm thinking of all these amazing writers that I love so much. You know, the Russian writers, I love Dostoevsky and Tolstoy. They're writing all this super dark stuff, mm-hmm. But they're making something beautiful out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, one of the songs on your album is Butterfly Collector. And it's a really impressive song, but it's also very dark. It's like this cautionary tale. Are you sometimes influenced as a songwriter by these influences, like you just mentioned, the stories of Tolstoy and Dostoevsky and just kind of the darker side of things?
Yes, definitely. And Butterfly Collector, I wanted to make, yes, almost like an old style folk song. Mm-hmm. That was a little creepy and scary too. But yeah, I think that a lot of the darkness, I mean, it's in our lives, you know, we live in the Valley of Tears and so we have to like face it and talk about it and try to get to make beauty out of it and goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's also important to remember since you do have a bluegrass influence on this album, sometimes bluegrass music can sound very bouncy and happy, but there's also a lot of darker themes going on in those songs. Cause I mean, I've, you know, an on and off listener to bluegrass for years. So I know a little bit of the history and it does fit what you're doing in that kind of new bluegrass country-ish vibe, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I mean, they talk about everything and they sometimes they do it and it's like peppy and you think, oh, this is such a happy song. And if you really listen to the lyrics, you're like, wow, this person is depressed.
Yeah. 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 It's kind of experiencing the blues, but making it sound joyful, which is a strange paradox, but that's how music works.
Exactly.
I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'm talking to Marie Miller about her album, Little Dreams. Marie's website is mariemillermusic.com. One of the things I like about the album, and we kind of alluded to this earlier, is that it has its Christian undertones. I mean, you got these songs born out of trouble and hardship, but I think it also has a broad appeal. So for me, this album is not just big C Catholic, but it's also little C Catholic. It's universal. Was that one of your goals when you put out Little Dreams to make it relatable to anyone?
Yes, definitely. And my audience is still pretty like half and half. Catholic and then non-Catholic, maybe non-believers. And so I perform in, you know, theaters and then sometimes I'll perform, you know, at a Catholic conference. And I've always really enjoyed both because I think that beauty is a pursual, like God's pursual for us, whether or not we know it. Mm-hmm. And I think that it can uplift the soul and bring us closer to God, even if it's not, you know, talking about, you know, the scriptures or the rosaries, that we can do that. And so, yes, I try. The reason why I don't write maybe worship songs is, and even though I love worship music, the reason why I decided not to do that was because, yes, I wanted it to be more of, like you said, a universal music that someone maybe who would be afraid of walking into a church or listening to a worship song could come to this and find some truth in it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I know one of the influences for this album, Little Dreams, was St. Therese's Little Way. Tell me about why you feel a connection to St. Therese of Lisieux and how she worked her way into this album, if any roses showed up during the making of it.
Yes. And I've always been, I'm kind of a tomboy, and I read St. Therese when I was a little girl, and my dad is obsessed with St. Therese. And I always thought she was so sugary and sweet and just, you know, too much, you know, and, mm-hmm. and I think a lot of Catholics might think that at first glance, but I listened to this lecture on her from this incredible priest, and I totally realized my incredible ignorance, of her depth, and who she is. And when I think about, St. Therese, we did get, a rose. It was when, coronavirus, was kind of before everything was closed down, but it was just about. And here I was planning this big tour, you know, for Little Dreams in March. Our first show was starting, March 13th in New York City, and we decided to cancel it. Mm-hmm. And we did a home, concert just with our friends. It was even before, like, you knew that was supposed to be over 10 people, like all this stuff.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And so we thought we were being really careful, but looking back, we had like 20 people in the in my brother in my small apartment. And we just did like this live stream, and we told everyone to bring beer and wine or whatever they wanted to drink. And one of my friends, and I had prayed to St. Therese the morning, and I said, St. Therese, I have no idea. Should I cancel these shows? Should I not? Because everything was actually going forward, but I just felt like, man, I don't know if I should do this. So I prayed to St. Therese. My dad told me to pray to St. Therese. And then my friend walked in with a dozen red roses, which was really beautiful.
And you took it as a sign.
I was like, yes, she's got this. She knows what she's doing.
Well, I've read that the song itself, Little Dreams, really reflects your personal journey, you know, during this whole leaving Curb Records and all that. Tell me a little bit about the song Little Dreams.
Yeah, so I wrote Little Dreams with my friend Chris Allen, who actually won American Idol.
American Idol, sure, remember that.
Yeah, and I walked into his studio in Nashville, and I was really feeling down about my journey and thinking like, wow, like, I've been doing this for so long. Does it really matter? Are people actually listening? You know, it's a grind. And I was telling him, like, I've never done anything like really big, you know, like win American Idol. and it's funny because Chris Allen did win American Idol, but he still is, you know, it's not like he's playing for 10,000 people. He's still having to work really hard to fill in seats, and he's an incredible singer and artist. And, we just kind of started talking about the significance of the dream itself, whether you play for a million people or you play for, you know, five people, you know, and that's kind of where the St. Therese connection is, like, do, you know, small things with great love, like focus on the soul, and the small, and then, you know, and do it with love, and don't worry about the quantity, but more the quality.
Yeah. Well, you just made that the reference to the big audiences. And I'm wondering, you know, since you were with a big studio label for 10 years, you achieved a lot of success. You've been compared to Taylor Swift and Shania Twain and Sarah Bareilles. After being in the industry for a while, did you still feel those early reasons that you wanted to get into the music business to perform? I'm assuming the love of it. I mean, were you still grounded in those early reasons or had, you know, had just the pursuit of the business end, the career part? Does it sometimes pull you away from those early motivating factors?
Yes, it does. But I would say that this time in my life, more because, you know, when you're 15 years old and you're singing and you're like, this is cool, I like this. You know, it's kind of like travel soccer to you. You don't, it's like some friends do this, but really it wasn't, in my heart in the way that it is now. And I can say that my inability to sing in front of anyone right now, unless it's live stream, has been the greatest message of like the, where God has placed in my heart this love for it by taking it away. And so the most that I've ever felt like I love performing has been now, because I can't do it. And I think it's the little gift from God, like the blessing in the battle, because yeah, I had left, I'd left the label, but it's, I've never experienced, you know, I've never called this my own as much as I did with Little Dreams, because it's my first independent album. You know, I wrote it all. I thought about it all. I was like really part of the production. So that's been really special. But even now I would say, I was so excited to do this interview. I've always loved interviews, but I'm like, oh my gosh, I get to like talk to someone about music.
Well, I'm glad we have the opportunity, and it's great to have you, Marie Miller, on the show. I'm talking to Marie Miller. Her album is called Little Dreams. Her website is mariemillermusic.com. You might know her from a previous songs like You're Not Alone and 6'2", which was featured on Dancing with the Stars. She's a singer, a songwriter, a mandolin player. She's got a great country and bluegrass sound to this album, Little Dreams. And it's also an album of a lot of depth. And let me just touch on one more song there. There's a song called More Than What I See, which really struck me as a song about self-perception and self-discovery. And I especially love the lyric, God save me from what I swear I need, petrified by lies I've started to believe. How do you think we can get bogged down in the misperceptions about what we really need in life? Because in a way, it's like you just said about the staying home has helped you reflect on what's really important to you. How do you think we can get bogged down in, you know, being, we need to be saved from what we swear we need?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I wrote that song literally, like almost like bent over in like self, just insecurity. And it's amazing that I've been so blessed by people that have been listening to that song and saying like, this has really helped me through my own personal journey and insecurity. And yes, like right now, a lot of us have had things taken away from us. You know, my dad loves that song because he has always had like perfect health. And now, or last summer, you know, went through chemo and radiation for cancer, and right now is doing well, but you know, when I was writing that song, he was like, God save me from what I swear I need. What we think we need, even something as basic as health, is that truly God is what we need. He's who we need. We can really take away everything else and it only be God. Now that's really hard to do.
Yeah. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'm talking to Marie Miller. Her website is mariemillermusic.com. Her album is called Little Dreams. You just mentioned your dad's battle with cancer and his influence of faith in your life. Talk to me a little bit about how your folks, your family planted these seeds of faith in your life.
Yes. Yeah, so my parents are incredible people, so faithful and love God so much. And so I've always grown up with that example. And even through times of doubt, times of feeling like I wasn't close to our Lord, is that they were always this constant. And so, yeah, they have instilled, and I have, 9 siblings, and just all of them are great examples to me, of just love for God. It's been so cool to see us during this time, because they are, you know, we were stuck at home for 2 months and there was like 7 out of 10 of us, at home. Mm-hmm. And just, it really wasn't that bad. You know, you'd think that many people, but it really was actually, the way that we were able to get along and support each other and help each other was really cool to see.
So it's almost a reminder about how important community and family is, that we're not no man is an island, so to speak.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I mean, when you were pursuing success in the music career, I'm curious, did success or striving for worldly success, was it ever spiritually blinding, or were you so grounded in the faith that you had, you know, absorbed from your family and chosen on your own that you were able to kind of stay on the right path?
I think I've always battled with attention, and not in the way that I would give up my faith, but that I would choose it over, like, you know, in a little ways. And so I still struggle with that. I really want everyone, you know, to hear these songs, right? And which is a good thing. But stepping back and saying, God, like I put this out, I'm going to work as hard as I can, and you know who needs to hear it, is my goal. I just don't always accomplish that goal, but I've never wanted to, I would never like sell myself, you know, for fame. That's never been a problem. Right. And that's really thanks to my parents.
Sure, sure. Well, there's another song on the album, Silently With Me, that strikes me as about being a struggle that a lot of people have. We all go through dark nights of the soul where God seems silent. How have you learned to deal with those moments when God seems silent?
It's very hard. And we wrote that song with two other writers for a good friend of ours who was going through a difficult time. And I think we have to be a remembering people. Our Lord says, you know, do this in remembrance of me. The thief on the cross says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. There's a call that when we are in dark places, to remember that he is faithful and when he was faithful, so that we go to that place, that we were confident. And we just lean on it, and we don't have to, the thing is, God doesn't need us to feel good about him all the time. you know, he just needs us to trust him all the time. And that I think is really important. Yeah. There's definitely been in, you know, I grew up with a pretty idyllic, you know, very pain-free, life. And recently, in the last few years, there's been a lot more, you know, real stuff like sickness, death, heartbreak. There's been a lot of things that have happened to me, that I was like, wait, what? Life's hard? No. And, I've had to just lean on to and trust him.
Yeah. Yeah. It's about the relinquishing control of what goes on in life, which again, this current time we're living in is teaching all of us that we can't control everything.
Totally.
Yeah. And there's another song I want to touch on, Don't Look for God, because it reminded me of the old line that we all have a God-shaped hole inside of us that we sometimes try to fill with something or someone else. What was the inspiration behind that song, and what did you want it to convey?
Exactly what you said. Yes, is that. Yeah. Wait.
Okay.
All right. You're writing my...
Sorry.
yeah. What else am I supposed to say, Tony? Oh, my goodness. No, exactly that is that I think about my life. Like, if I just have this, if I just, you know, have this many streams on Spotify, if I just, you know, marry Tim Tebow, who now is married. So how am I supposed to... It's like when that happened, I'm like, okay, it's over. But, you know, it's like all these things that you think you need. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's like you won't find him. Like he don't miss the giver because you're staring at the gift. Like thank the giver. And I just always do that. I think that the gift is the giver, and then the gift changes or is taken away, or I get bored of it and I'm dissatisfied again.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let me ask you about a gift I saw on your Instagram page, a gift in a metaphorical sense. You're a godmother to a child named Ezra, and you look very joyful whenever you post a picture of him. Just tell me what is that relationship like? What does it add to your life to be a godmother to this young baby?
Ooh, yeah, it is so awesome. Ezra is my sister's second baby. She has a daughter named Florence and a son, Ezra. And Stan came into our lives, her husband, a few years ago. And it's just like, love is creative, right? I mean, mm-hmm. It makes these like new people. It's so crazy to think these new people with perspective and beauty and joy and like, they smile like no one else has ever smiled before. And Ezra has just taught me so much already that it's not about like what you accomplish, but just like the person is beloved, like period. And you don't really need to like prove yourself or prove your love. You are just beloved. We were created. Like God said when he created us, this is good. So just like rest in that.
Yeah, no, that's great. And nothing like a baby smile to teach you that message.
Exactly.
All right, we're almost out of time. Let me just ask you my final question. What is your hope for people who listen to Little Dreams?
My hope is that they are encouraged and inspired to live out whatever unique journey that God has created for them. Like each of us was made with a special gift inside of us, something that nobody else has. We were made to do something great for each other, and we have that inside of us. So don't be afraid to live out your dream. And also to say is like, God dreams over us. We don't think, oh, I have a dream. Like, what I love is probably not what God wants you to do. Like, what you love is what he's put in your heart to do. So it's not like either or. Like, I have to do God's will or I have to have joy. It's like, mm-hmm. Joy is God's will. Even though it can be hard, even though it can be painful, there is joy in that. So I would just say, live out your dream. And that sounds so Pinteresty, but live out your dream, but really do it.
I think that's a wonderful answer and a perfect perspective based on what you've been through. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up. I've been talking to Marie Miller. Her album is Little Dreams. You can find her website at mariemillermusic.com. You can find links to buy it. It's on Amazon and at all the usual places. And it's full of songs of struggle, but also songs of hope. And Marie infuses the songs with her Catholic faith in subtle ways. So I think you're really going to enjoy listening to Little Dreams. Marie, thanks so much for being on the show today and for creating such wonderful music and for sharing your insights with all of us.
Thank you. Thank you so much for spreading the word. You guys are awesome.
You too. Now, to play us into our message from the Christophers, here's a clip of Marie Miller singing the title track of her album, Little Dreams.
These are my little dreams. A thousand kites on a string. Just try and knock the wind right out of me. But
God is calling each of us to find our mission in life right now. It might involve a radical change, or it may be a call to serve those around us in a deeper way. To help you along that path, the Christophers have prepared a news note called Discover Your Mission in Life. It offers insights about discerning the path that God is calling you towards and shares stories about those who have embraced their particular mission. To request your free copy of Discover Your Mission in Life, send an email to radio@christophers.org or call our toll-free number at 1-888-298-4050. We look forward to hearing from you.
In closing, I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in today, and I encourage you to visit our website at christophers.org to learn more about the Christophers and to download free literature and podcasts. When you're there, you can also find links to our blog and our Facebook and Twitter pages. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, you can send an email to radio@christophers.org. Our engineer for today's show is Brian Bonifacio, and I'm Tony Rossi, your host. Thanks again for joining us, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.